Alright, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. But right now we turn to Bob Murphy, because I don't understand enough about economics, and Bob does. So I'm going to ask him questions. Welcome back to the show, Bob. How's it going?
Pretty good, Scott. Thanks.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. Everybody, you know Bob. He's a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute. He's the author of a bunch of great books, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Capitalism and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the New Deal and the Great Depression, Lessons for the Young Economist, The Human Action Study Guide, if you're into Ludwig von Mises, Chaos Theory about Anarcho-Capitalism. He's the co-author of How Privatized Banking Really Works, Integrating Austrian Economics with the Infinite Banking Concept. He keeps the blog at consulting by rpm.com and, again, writes for Mises.org. And now, so here's what I want to ask you about first today on the show, Bob, and that is the debt ceiling. TV says that there's some kind of controversy in D.C. about whether they're going to raise this thing in time to prevent Earth from imploding. Is that the case? Either is there really a controversy over whether they're going to do it, and would the Earth implode if they didn't?
Well, just to bring your listeners up to speed to make sure they know what we're talking about, yeah, what happens is Congress has to give the Treasury permission to have a certain amount of outstanding debt, right? So, you know, Treasury sells bonds, it's borrowing money from people, and so Congress has an explicit cap saying at no time can you owe people more than X dollars. So right now that limit is roughly $14.3 trillion. They actually already passed it, right? So already they're above it, because what happened is it was around May 16th, they passed that limit, and Treasury Secretary Geithner is just using some fancy footwork to get around it. There's like various retirement funds for federal employees, and like, you know, they're sitting on a stockpile of Treasury bonds, and so when those things mature, and normally you would just roll them over and have them accrue with interest, Geithner's just taking those matured bonds and then selling them to somebody else, and then, like, you know, keeping track of saying, okay, we're short, we owe you this pension fund this money, but we'll make it good to you once Congress raises the debt limit. So in a sense, the government already has gone over the debt limit. It's just they're borrowing against stuff that, you know, is all within the family of the federal government, so they figure it's okay. As far as the question, you know, are they not going to raise it? What's going to happen? Well, the tricks Geithner's doing, that would run out, they're estimating, by early August. So in other words, even doing these little things behind the scenes and moving money around and shell games, they can only do that through about August, at which point, if they don't get statutory approval to borrow more money, they're going to have to stop paying things, you know, that are on schedule right now that they owe people money for. So the Republicans are, of course, are threatening, saying, no, unless we get serious about cutting long-term spending, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling. If you're asking me to make a prediction, I think they're going to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, Republicans apparently behind the scenes have been telling people on Wall Street, you know, don't worry, we're just putting on a show for the voters to show them we mean business. You know, we're not going to interrupt the interest payments to you guys. Don't worry. So I think that's how it's going to play out eventually.
Yeah. And now, so I guess if, let's just say somehow, I don't know, Ron Paul did some kind of coup in the House and got the speaker chair and just refused to allow that to happen, then what? They just have to sell off all the land they own in the West and that kind of thing?
Oh, right. I didn't answer the other part of the question. So if by some...
Would we all die if this, if the Democrats and Republicans don't get their way, Bob?
obviously, no, I don't think that would be a problem. I mean, there's a few things going on. So one thing is, when everybody like who is for raising the debt ceiling tries to convince the average Joe that, oh my gosh, of course we have to do this or else the world would fall apart, the way they try to scare people is they say, oh, if the Treasury defaulted on interest payments to existing bondholders, that would make interest rates go up, that would cause a financial crisis, the world would implode, and so forth. And so what they're doing there is they're just assuming that if the government all of a sudden can't borrow and spend more, that the thing that would get cut, you know, the thing that would have to give would be them making the explicit interest payments to people who have already lent money to the government. But there's no reason that has to be true. Right now, But if you know, there's tons of revenue flowing into the government every month, you know, from tax payments and so forth. About 1/6 of that is what they need to fund interest on the existing debt. All right, so they already, you know, that 1/6 of the money they're currently taking in the door is all they need to not default on existing debt. So what all it means is they would have to really either slash spendings elsewhere, or, like you said, the federal government has tons of assets they could sell. I mean, for example, they own $400 billion worth of student loans. They have, at least according to what they claim, who knows if they actually have the gold, but they claim they have $400 billion worth of gold. So that's $800 billion right there I just mentioned. So they could clearly, you know, they wouldn't even have to cut spending. If they just sold off those assets right there, that would get them through the fiscal year without borrowing more money and without, you know, missing any payment of scheduled interest or anything else. So they clearly have tons of money. It's just they're trying to scare people to say, no, we need to borrow more or the world will end.
So, okay, if this kept going for a couple of years then, at some point they get up against the wall here. Let's say they can't sell anything more, and yet Congress won't raise the debt ceiling. Then what does that mean? Because everybody on TV says, oh, this would be default, and all of the markets would go completely insane, and it's crazy. Ron Paul, by the way, keeps answering them that, yeah, we're defaulting anyway by printing the money to pay off the debt as it is, and we're just defaulting on the little guy instead of the big guy who would be more likely to own bonds. Can you address that for us, too?
Sure. So, again, I just want to stress that there is no reason they would need to actually default. The only reason it would be a default is if you thought that, you know, oh my gosh, the people at Lockheed just assumed they would be getting these, you know, lucrative billion-dollar contracts for the next 30 years, and now they might not get it next year. And you know, if you're going to call that a default, then okay, yeah, there's no way around it. But it's what they're trying to do when they say the financial markets would implode. They mean the government, you know, had auctioned off a 15-year treasury security. Someone lent money to Uncle Sam and then thought he was going to get a stream of payments and then get his principal back. And then all of a sudden, Uncle Sam misses a payment because we just don't have the cash. So that's what people mean when they say the Treasury would have to start defaulting. But that's just not true. Like I said, they have tons of revenue coming in. Like they don't have to raise taxes. They just kept things the way they were. They have plenty of money coming in to make sure they make contractual interest payments to people. It just means they would have to cut spending elsewhere, you know, stuff that's discretionary. And
well, right, but in the scare story, in the hypothetical, yeah, if they do stop paying the bondholders, then
right,
what? The world catches on fire?
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend what they did. If it were just a matter of, like, for example, some of the Republican, and again, I think they're largely just saying this to look like tough guys for the Tea Party type voters, but they are saying, hey, if it, you know, comes down to the wire and the Democrats don't want to cut spending, we'll start missing interest payments. You know, we'll make them up once we get the house, fiscal house in order. But so if investors thought like, okay, it's just, you know, they're wrangling and they're going to miss a few payments, but they're going to make it up. I don't think it would be the end of the world if people thought for some reason that no, the government's only going to pay you 50 cents on the dollar from what you thought you were owed. Well, then, yeah, then interest rates in the U.S. would go up just like they're going up in Greece. When people think that the Greek government's not going to be able to pay off its bonds, what happens is investors get nervous, and so there has to be a premium. So, you know, just like if a bank's going to lend money to somebody, if the person's not a good credit risk, the bank charges you a higher interest rate. So that's the idea here. If all of a sudden Uncle Sam is no longer a good risk, interest rates go up.
All right. Is there a kind of a rule of thumb that says when a national government's debt is so much at this point, they'll never be able to pay it off, so they have to simply debase the currency?
Yeah, I mean, there have been some economists that have done studies like that. I don't remember off the top of my head what the magic number was supposed to be, but the U.S. is on its current trajectory going to exceed that fairly soon. And so, you know, people say, oh, well, that's not a big deal. Look at Japan. Japan has way higher debt to GDP ratio than we do. And, you know, so it's obviously once it starts to get out of control, it gets more and more expensive to make those interest payments and so forth. And then what happens is the government's tempted to turn to the printing press to pay it off. And then, of course, it just blows up because that just makes things worse. That, you know, they spend more and then there's more higher inflation and then that makes people charge higher interest rates. And so it's, you know, it's like analogous to a regular household. Like somebody just starts getting in deep into debt and gets over his head. And then, you know, just it gets out of control after a while if you let it go too long. So, I mean, it's the same basic principle, except governments have printing presses, so they might think they can get out of it that way. But, of course, that's really not – that's just an illusion, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and rules of thumb aside, as determined by others, you think we're at that point now?
We're not in the sense of, like, there's some law of nature that means, oh, it's irreversible at this point. I mean, like, if somebody like Ron Paul or whoever got elected and started doing things that made sense, you know, if the Fed reversed policy next week, then no, we could easily turn it around. But you're asking me, do I predict that's going to happen? No, because just the dynamics of this situation, as the bad consequences of the policies up till now keep, you know, reaping their bad fruit, we know the people in Washington are just going to point to that and say, oh my gosh, we need to do more. You know, just like what could have happened in the last 2 years to discredit big stimulus and you know, loose monetary policy than what we have observed, and yet everyone's pointing at the economy and saying, oh my gosh, we clearly need to do more because the economy's not recovering. You know, so it's just the more bad things that happen because of what they've been doing, I think they're just going to keep piling on more and more stuff. So to answer your question, I'm very pessimistic about what's going to happen. The only bright side in all this is that a lot of people now are openly questioning, you know, whether there should be a Fed, and, you know, it's people are even saying, so what if we default? That's better than going deeper into debt. So, I mean, it's good that things are so bad people are starting to sound radical and say things that you and I have been talking about for a long time. But on the other hand, the only reason that's happened is because things are so bad.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, like Condoleezza Rice and Rahm Emanuel say, every crisis is an opportunity, right?
You know, it's funny. I feel squeamish about thinking like that for the reason you just bring up. Like, I don't want to be like those guys, but it is kind of true that, you know, well, holy cow, maybe we can get people now to listen to us about the Fed or, you know, whatever the issue happens to be that now because things are so bad, like if the dollar collapses, maybe people start paying attention.
Yeah, well, but, and it seems to me like our choice is either the values of the Declaration of Independence or the values of David Petraeus and the Pentagon. And if we really have a dollar crisis here, the question is, it's going to be a very stark choice before us, the two paths, whether we're going to take the Ron Paulian path and start acting right, or whether we're just going to compound our error by centralizing government control even more.
Right, and it's hard to see, because again, it's like there's two trends that, you know, people are much more interested in Austrian economics and libertarianism, and, you know, even among, like, right-winger-type guys who probably have always voted Republican, for example, I'm much more comfortable now just saying, you know, we need to pull back the American empire. You know, whereas before I would have been a little bit more careful in those circles. You know, I would have talked about cutting taxes or something. But, I mean, more and more people who – it's not that they really care about blowing up foreigners, but they just understand, even from a monetary and fiscal point of view, our empire is crazy. We just can't afford it anymore. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that that's the argument you have to use with some people, but yet the point is we are getting so deep into debt that a lot of people now are willing to say, yeah, the other things that I used to care about, are, you know, we have to just concede the point. Like, we can't do this anymore.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. The dynamic of having a Democratic president at a time like this means that, on one hand, the peace movement pretty much went home. But then again, as you say, there are new doors opening to make peace arguments to the right wing. But also that narrative from the end of the Bush years that free market capitalism got us into this mess died really quickly with the advent of the Obama administration, because, of course, there is no long-term memory. And the false assertion that George W. Bush was some kind of Ron Paulian libertarian could have stuck if the TV wanted it to, as long as, you know, if it had been McCain or something. But with Obama there, and history always beginning yesterday, and him being a big government socialist with a big afro and a black-gloved fist raised in the air, or whatever the right-wing narrative is, it couldn't possibly be that it's the free market's fault that we're in the mess we're in. So people then are looking to free market solutions, the Austrian school especially, to be the opposite of the situation we're in. So at least we have that going for us, you know, because that whole narrative that, you know, everybody knows that Herbert Hoover and George W. Bush were a couple of Ron Paulians, and that's how everything got so screwed up then and now.
It is good, I think, that Obama won. Well, it's a double-edged sword because, like you say, so on the one hand, it's easy for me to sort of radicalize people who are generally, like, small government when it comes to economic issues. Like, I can, when I write op-eds for certain audiences, I can be a lot more radical than I would be able to to be if John McCain had won, because then he would have been doing basically the same stuff economically, domestically. And so I would have been criticizing a Republican, and people would have been a little bit more, you know, oh, well, let's, you know, let's not be too radical. But now since it's Obama, like you say, oh, yeah, totally free market. Let's do it. You know, this guy's crazy. He's a socialist. But on the other hand, it neutered the peace movement, you know, like all the, you know, Patriot Act renewing, all that stuff. I mean, if that had been McCain in there, there would have been a lot more opposition. But since it's a liberal Democrat, supposedly, you know, then all those people fall away. So it's.
Yeah, well, we're libertarians. We got to take these silver linings where we can get them, Bob. That's all we have. all right. Well, so I guess I wonder, okay, short of the Federal Reserve being destroyed and the Federal Reserve Act being repealed, what do you suggest? Like a Paul Volcker type policy where they crank up interest rates and try to force the recession that they've been inflating to prevent now?
Well, what I mean, that would probably be what would happen, but I would rather them not. I don't think that the Federal Reserve people need to sit around and say, what should interest rates be next month? I think that's crazy. Like that's literally central planning. So I would, if the parameters of our thought experiment are, there's going to be a Fed, they're going to have some kind of policy, what should it be? I would say, okay, they should just announce next week, we're going to permanently peg the dollar to gold, let's say $2,000 an ounce, and that's what it's going to be from now until the end of time. And we will, you know, adjust the number of dollars in circulation to keep that target fixed. And then, you know, as our holdings of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries mature, we're not going to roll them over. We're going to let those things get paid off, and then we're just going to buy more physical gold and stockpile it, and we'll have outside auditors come in and verify that we actually do have that, so people can believe us when we say, you know, we're going to keep the dollar at a fixed price with respect to gold. And so basically going back on the gold standard, I think that's the best thing that they could do if you're going to have a Fed at all, or if you're going to have, you know, the government involved with the dollar at all, is just tie it to gold. And so then it, you know, in that respect, depoliticizes it so that people can make long-term plans and they know, oh, if there's a problem 5 years out, Bernanke is not going to inject another $1 trillion into the financial sector because he can't, because that would push up the price of gold. So if they did do that, yeah, you're right. It would cause a big recession right now because they've just been postponing the inevitable. And it would be painful, but at least we would get it over with. And that's the point, is the Fed's easy money policies aren't really helping the economy. Just like Greenspan didn't do us any favors by giving us the housing bubble. He just made it that much worse. The same thing, Bernanke's not doing us any favors by postponing the bad recession that we should have had when the housing bubble collapsed.
Right.
So we might as well just suck it up and get through it rather than just, you know, pushing it back, making it going to be that much worse when it happens.
Right. All right. Now, I'm sorry, but we're way over time and we got to go. But I thank you very much for your time on the show today, Bob. It's been great as always.
Great. Thanks for having me. And I'll be at Pork Fest for any of your listeners that want to go to that.
Oh, cool. Hey, you should go to that, if only so you can hear Bob Murphy talk about stuff. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Everybody, that's Robert P. Murphy. The blog is consulting by RPM.com. You can find him at Mises.org. And again, the books are The Politically Incorrect Guide to Capitalism and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the New Deal, the Great Depression and the New Deal. Excellent works, both of them.